Good morning, church. Over the last several weeks, we joined Jesus around a variety of tables while he eats with all kinds of people. Today, we join him at a rather unusual meal. He has been resurrected and has just appeared to his disciples, who are deeply alarmed. So he tells them, "Peace be with you," and shows them the marks of his crucifixion to help them believe.
Yet for all their joy, they were still disbelieving and wondering. And he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?"
They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate in their presence.
Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the laws of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures.
And he said to them, "Thus is written, that the Messiah is to suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem."
You are witness of these things, and see, I am sitting upon you what my Father promised. So stay here in the city until you are clothed with power from on high.
The word of God for the people of God.
Amen. Thank you. Let's give these guys a great hand for creative reading of the scriptures. That was awesome. Thank you guys so much. With that word of Christ from the resurrection moving before us, and you'll see some things moving on the stage as well. I call our hearts together for just a word of prayer to reflect. Let us pray. God of this day and God of our hearts, we've gathered here together, Lord, this morning as a family, in person and online, to connect with you. And as we circle up later around tables and move to bless others with our acts of loving service this morning, we pray, Lord, that all that we do would be pleasing to you. And this time now, Lord, we ask that you help us to focus in just for a little bit and to listen deeply. Help us listen to your voice above the noise of the world and the busyness of our minds this morning, or maybe even our bodies, that we might truly encounter Jesus here in spirit and in truth. We pray this in his holy name. Amen. Well, first, I want to thank you for being with us today. If you're new with us, I'm Reverend Gina Anderson Cloud. I'm the lead pastor here at Flourish United Methodist Church, and it's a joy to see you. It's a joy. Isn't it a joy, church, to be together in this space? Isn't it a joy? Yes, yes, it's a joy. I feel like we've already been to church with prayer and praise, and we want to take a little bit of time this morning to continue and wrap up. We're going to be wrapping up actually with our service out in the world as we package all these meals today for the local community and for the world around us. We're going to wrap Dining with Jesus with that. Before a little bit of time of reflection, I want to remind you where we've been the past few weeks. We've been around table. That's why we have the table up here. We've been talking about some of the key points in Scripture of where Jesus has food with others, where he dines with others. We've talked about what it looks like to come to table and to truly be welcomed, what it means to welcome and extend grace at table. And we're going to talk about that a little bit more today, actually. We've imagined what it might be like to dine with someone that we might consider an enemy, even. What does that look like? And how does Christ do it? And how are we called to extend that same kind of grace in our lives? And then last week, as we had this place set up very differently here in house, we reflected on what Jesus meant when he offered us the meal of Holy Communion. when he sat down with disciples and he said, remember me and do these things, what did it mean for us as we come forward as people of Christ with open hearts and open hands to receive those gifts? Today, we go a little bit deeper, and we're going to even extend the table to hear some more story from some others this morning to think about how Jesus kind of ended it all with some food, too, before he ascended into heaven. We move into the end of Luke's gospel. You heard that it's a resurrection account. And as we've been moving through all these places with table over the past few weeks, I had to, maybe you've done this too, you've thought about what your family table looks like. And it took me back to times at table when my kids were little and how we did table together. I have to tell you that that was a value for young families and kids in the room and students in the room. It was a value of my family to try to eat dinner together at least. We try to have as many meals together as we could of the day, but particularly we tried, no matter what was going on, basketball, soccer, cross country, whatever it was, volleyball, lots of volleyball, we tried to get a meal together around table. And as many of you know, when you bring, whether it's in family or a group of friends, if you bring an extended table, it's five of us, you get people together at table, it's not always that beautiful thing that you're thinking about when you make that a value. With five people and little kids, it can be chaotic and it can be challenging. And as I was thinking about this dining and how we did that as a family, I was reminded of a time when we were eating together, and my youngest in the family, she was about 4 years old, and the staff are going to bring up a picture. There we are, younger Gina, right, younger Bert, and our kids, and the one in the pink dress, I think this was a Christmas picture we took at church. The one in the pink dress is my youngest, Kayana. She's about four in this picture, as I remember, and we'll just leave that up there. She's pretty cute, I have to say. So the five of us are at our dinner table, and one of the older kids, I don't remember which one, but they were sharing some news from the day that they hadn't done so well on a test, that we had worked a little bit with study, and we'd encouraged that child to study more than they actually had. And so we were debriefing about how that didn't go well. And as we were talking about this, we as parents were a little frustrated with the child not leaning into the extra study that we'd asked for them to do. I can't remember for the life of me which kid. And so we're there eating. Things are getting a little bit tense at the Cloud family dinner table. And the little one, Kayana, she looks at all of us and she says this. She says, "Let's talk about horses." And then she smiles with the most incredible smile. She was always just a little bit on the mischievous side. She still is. And we all just kind of froze, like mid-conversation, and caught ourselves. And the parents at the table, Bert and I, said, "Let's talk about horses." And so we shifted. We shifted from the, hey, you didn't maybe study as much, and that kind of like posture that we had that was stressing. We have to remember, sometimes we can stress people out at table, right? And we started talking about horses. I mean, horses, you know, I don't know if you're a horse lover, but you could talk about horses and you can find some joy, right? This four-year-old knew, that was one of her favorite things at that age, by the way, horses. So she had a big toy horse and galloped around, and she had one of those on the pole that she galloped around the house with. We started talking about horses, and the temperature in the room changed almost immediately. And there was joy. This tense conversation became joy, and we talked, and we kind of forgot it about the grade. We came back to that conversation a little bit later as we debriefed the next steps coming up for that kid. And you know what happened, right? Another meal happened, and the temperature was rising again about something, as it does, as challenges around the family table. And what did Kayana do? "Let's talk about horses." Same smile. And we shifted again, and we talked about horses. To this day, folks, if you come to my dinner table and there's some stress, some one of the five of us will say the code words, "Let's talk about horses." we do, we'll shift, or at least it's a topic shift thing for us. It's a way to offer grace, is to realize within yourself that there's grace at work at table. And what we do at table can actually decrease our stress and infuse joy and take away some of our concerns from the day and from our lives. Now, this you probably know, it's supported by research too. You know I like research a little bit. A couple years ago, the American Heart Association, they ran some research on table fellowship among families and among others. One of the things that families in the room, parents in particular, and you have to think about this, the research supported this. They found that they surveyed 1,000 people, 1,000 adults, and they said that 91% of parents said they felt less stressed when their families shared meals together. So I know sometimes we're rushing around and we're trying to get to the next thing, right, as parents, and I wonder what we miss out on in terms of just bringing the temperature down within family by not sharing meal together. There's tons of research that supports this. I know we got counselors and psychologists in the room that can quote this stuff to you. And not just parents, adults said that 65% of them said, and I guess it depends on who you dine with too, right? Sometimes dining with folks can interject some stress, and we have ways to cope with that when we look at the example of Christ, that just eating with others decreased their stress. The next slide. So a little bit more here. This is interesting. 84% of people in general said they wish they could share meals with others more often. And that makes you think about a lot, about the structure of your day, extending your table, of those that may be longing for a sense of family and community and connection and friendship. And then look at this one. Out of those 1,000 people, that sample that they had, only 50% of the population eats with others. So we make choices, and what we find in our scripture today, we're going to come back to that, is that eating and eating with others can take the temperature down and bring us to a different place. Let's talk about the scripture just real quickly. The scripture today comes, I told you, from the end of Luke's gospel. Chapter 24 that our students read to us so well, or from so well, it comes on Easter. Luke wraps up the end of Jesus' life and the resurrection really quickly in chapter 24. Chapter 24 begins with Easter morning in the empty tomb. And then Luke moves through chapter 24 with talking about how Jesus encounters people at the tomb, and then he goes with a couple followers on a road to a place called Emmaus. And they realize in what Jesus is saying to them and in the breaking of bread together that it's Christ. And those disciples, they run back, not the 12, but two other disciples, Cleopas and a companion. They run back to where the disciples are hiding in Luke 24. They're still locked up. All this news is spread around Easter from morning to late evening that Jesus is resurrected, but the disciples are still scared. They're off somewhere hiding, and they're there telling the disciples, hey, we walked with Jesus, and he's alive, and he broke the bread, and we knew it was him, and it's amazing, he's been resurrected. And about that time, Jesus walks in the room, and that's where the students started reading today. Luke says, if you look at that part, he finds the disciples disbelieving and frightened. And one of the things that they say to one another, they're thinking, is this a ghost? What in the world is going on? And Jesus stops in grace. This is a grace moment because he's spent 3 years preparing them for this moment. He doesn't scold them. He shows them his wounds, right? These are the wounds from the cross. I'm real. Here I am. And as Luke tells that story, the temperature begins to change a little bit. It says that the disciples move to being joyous, but he also writes that they're still disbelieving. And Jesus knows this. So it says they have joy, but they're still disbelieving. And then Jesus does this odd thing. If you know this text, you probably don't even think about it as a meal, but Jesus says, hey guys, you got any food? Have you got any food? Is there anything to eat? And then the scripture says they gave him some fish, and he began to eat it. Now, for biblical scholars in the room, I want you to push pause right here, because some scholars will say, oh, Jesus was just eating there to show he was real, that he wasn't a ghost. I think there's so much more happening there, because what the students read in behind that is that Jesus changes the temperature by extending this grace and eating there. Jesus takes this broiled fish. Think about how you receive a piece of broiled fish. Had to be in some kind of vessel, right? You just don't, I mean, broiled fish falls apart, right? They gave him some fish. I can imagine, we talked about how the tables were low. I can imagine that Jesus reclined and he starts eating. He's calm, right? They're disbelieving. They've been frightened. He welcomes them around table. And then Luke recounts that Jesus tells the story of salvation again to these disciples. Hey, boys, this is how it is. I told you. I told you that I would have to go to Jerusalem and suffer, and that I would be raised on the third day, and now you've got a thing to do. This is this very end of his interaction with his disciples. He's eating some fish with them in community. And then it says that the disciples are amazed. And Jesus kind of takes that energy of amazement as Luke tells the gospel story, and he moves with them to Bethany, and he ascends into heaven, and he hands the ministry over to them. Think about it. Think about how the pulse and the temperature in the room changed as Jesus slowed things down, and he had some food with them. He extended grace. He told the story of salvation. He encouraged them. He didn't scold them. He invited them to table. It's powerful, isn't it? One of the last things that Jesus did, as Luke tells the gospel story, is he had some fish with his best friends. He ate with them. This morning, as we're talking about what it means to extend grace, I'm going to extend grace, if you all will allow me, just for a moment at this table, and I'm going to invite three friends up here to share a little bit of story too. So friends, come on up. As you're thinking about Jesus and dining with Jesus and the noise tables make, I'm happy to invite these friends. I'm going to let them introduce themselves as we share together a little bit. I'm going to turn first to Todd. And Todd, can you tell us who you are here at the church, a little bit of what you do, a lot, and then share with us a little bit about the meaning of grace for you extended at table.
Sure. Thanks, Gina. So for the past couple years, I've been serving on the church council here at Floris, and this year I started in a new role as the chair of the church council. For those of you who don't know, the church council at Floris acts as a strategic partner with the church staff here, and so I don't think this is in the script, but one of the real blessings of serving on council is you get a really good window into the breadth and the scope of all the serve and all the volunteering that happens here at Floris. It's a really amazing scope, and I also get to partner with really amazing staff. As Floris blessed with a really, really wonderful staff, and so it's great to be able to work with them on all kinds of different things. But so, Gina, when you asked me this question about where I've experienced grace at table, I think about big family table, extended family. You know, sometimes, at least in our extended family, there can be conflicts, or maybe you find yourself sitting down at table and there are things that you feel like are unresolved, or relationships that are not exactly where you want them to be. And in our Thanksgiving table, as many of you may do, we go around and we talk about what we're thankful for. And in those moments, when you're hearing those words of appreciation, and you're able to give those words of thanks and gratitude to others, I find that any hesitation, any reluctance, any frustrations that I'm holding, I felt those just really fall away in those moments. And I really, it's really the grace of God that being extended to me, if I'm open to it, to really help reset those relationships and renew them, and let me know that the relationships don't have to be like that. They can be renewed if I'm open to that grace. So it's really been a blessing for me.
Thank you so much. So gratitude and grace transforming mm-hmm. even the relationships around table. And Todd, I think this is such an important word for us in the season where we know we have some divisions within some of our families and we'll probably come mm-hmm. together at that Thanksgiving meal. So what a great practice. Yeah. Thank you for sharing with us. I know Pastor Lauren also has some thoughts about extending grace at table.
Yeah, and Todd is talking about his extended family, and we were up visiting with mine a couple weeks ago, and this is a really simple thing, but as we talked about this, it's just the story that kept coming to mind, and I believe that's a God thing, so I'll share it with you all. We were preparing for dinner, and the 5 o'clock news was on, which had led to some questions. And I mean a polite conversation, but it was a conversation. And then we were coming to the table, and my husband, my in-laws, they're all left-handed, and I am not. There's a really funny story about me meeting them and not being able to do anything in the kitchen, being worthless, because all their stuff is left-handed. But we were sitting down to the table, and they had everything set, you know, for left-handed people at the table. And my father-in-law walked over to that table without saying anything to me, and I just saw him move all my stuff over to the right side of the table. And I, you know, I called him, I said, thank you so much. And, you know, he had a little laugh about it, but in the midst of some of those 5 o'clock news conversations, I realized what a simple act at the dining table of just recognizing who I am and making space for that, and something so simple made me feel so incredibly loved in my extended family.
Yeah, so the little things we can do, the big things that we can do. And Jesus does this in today's text. He takes that temperature in the room and he just dissipates it by spending some time with grace at the table. Amanda, I know you're gonna talk kind of in a broader context about how your family actually extends and expands to be a means of grace.
Earlier this week, as I was contemplating talking about this, I really think about when you bring somebody into your home, the vulnerability that it takes to bring somebody to your table. You have to prep, you have to plan, you have to think, are they gonna like the food that I'm cooking? I am an okay cook, I am not great. But you think about bringing somebody else to your table, you're like, are they gonna like this food? What are they gonna like? What are they gonna do? And our family, we do this in a really big way. I always try not to get emotional, but, you know, you think about the most vulnerable in our communities, and in our case, we really look at the missional work of working with foster children, and these are kids who come from a broken place. Like, a child coming into foster care is coming from some kind of broken home, whether it's substance abuse or lack of education from their biological parents, or whatever the reason is. And as a foster family, we're stepping into that space temporarily, and that's always the goal, is that it's a temporary position that we step into. But it's that opening up and being vulnerable, because being a foster family is not easy. It takes a lot of work, it takes a lot of prayer, it takes a lot of support. And I just, as we went through the last year, we had a foster baby, and it was not easy all the time. You know, taking care of an infant is hard, especially when your youngest is like independent and now you're like going back to the baby phase. There was the challenges of taking care of an infant. There's the challenges of working with a difficult biological family, difficulty with working within the system, and co-parenting with the government is a challenge. And through it all, I just kept remembering, like, what is the mission here? What is the value? And I was constantly brought back to, like, this is God's work, because I couldn't do it if it wasn't God's work. Couldn't do it without a super supportive family. We do it all together, but it's truly a missional thing, and it's God's family. And as we've gone through this sermon series, definitely been thinking about that, of, like, Jesus came to the table. Jesus welcomed those that were challenging to work with. And Jesus sat there and said, go and do this like I'm doing it. And that's kind of the reminder of what it means, and kind of our family and how we're a missional family in that sense. You know, we're not going to other countries or doing big things, but it's that small thing, working with one child at a time, because we need that. We need to commune with other people in community and have somebody that just extends that love, and it's God's love extended through us.
Wow. Thank you, Amanda. And I know the church is going to say that is not a small thing. Like, I was a foster mom. It is not a small thing to open your heart and your home. And this this word that you give us about being just the way of Christ, it's what Christ would have us do in whatever situation, extending our heart to strangers, finding it in places where there's tension, and then opening our hearts to gratitude and seeing people differently just because of what God reveals to us as we're sitting in a seat across from them. Thank you so much for sharing your stories with us this morning. Congregation, let's give these folks thanks. Thank you, and I'll let you take your seats. Thank you. Church, I hope that as we begin now to do the big wrap-up, as we have meal together in a few minutes, I'm going to ask the band to come on and get ready so we can sing and celebrate on our way out. I hope that you find joy. I hope, regardless of what you came in with this morning in your heart, you may have been excited about seeing everybody today. You may have had some heaviness in your heart or some challenge in your life. Regardless of how you came in today, I hope that the presence of Christ at your table and through you will bring the temperature down and that you'll experience some amazing grace. Amen.